Wyoming's prisons are overcrowded, and the problem is predicted to get much worse. The Wyoming Department of Corrections was forced to place 88 prisoners out of state this year, and so the state brought in the Council of State Governments Justice Reinvestment Program to try and find some solutions. As we've previously reported, the reason behind the growth is that too many people are being returned to prison on probation and parole violations. A legislative committee adopted some legislation that could address this issue. Bob Lampert is the director of the Wyoming Department of Corrections, and Steve Lindley is his deputy director. They both join me to discuss the issue, and Mr. Lindley describes the problem.
One of the large drivers of prison population are failing probationers and parolees. So nearly half of the annual intakes to prison, which are roughly 500 individuals, are there as a result of failing some condition of their probation and parole or parole, largely without a new criminal conviction. And of course, substance abuse and mental health issues play a large part of that. What much of this legislation was looking at are ways to intercede there to see if some percentage of those individuals can be diverted in different ways that, of course, don't jeopardize public safety and maybe improve the likelihood of their success. So that's probably, I think, maybe the single largest focus.
Were there things that, I guess, probation and parole officers could do differently as opposed to legislation that might address this problem too?
We currently have in place what we refer to as PRISM. It's a sanctions and rewards system that provides our agents with different tools to encourage positive behavior while they're on probation or parole, but also sanction negative behaviors in ways that don't necessarily lead immediately to a revocation of their supervision and placement in prison. So a lot of the, I guess, the core tools that are also incorporated in the draft legislation are in place, but there's limitations on that, and particularly around the probation side of the house, which is controlled by the courts, to give the agents a little bit more discretion in how to manage those alternative sanctions, including placement in jail for 2 to 3 days over the weekend, for example, for violations of conditions of parole or probation, particularly related to substance abuse, as well as intermediate sanctions of a longer period and placement for up to 90 days for additional treatment and attention to their criminogenic needs prior to return to probation or parole. So the draft legislation expands some of those alternatives.
So my big takeaway this whole summer and even previous to that is the lack of available mental health services or treatment facilities that we have in the state seem to be centered in certain locations and not statewide. And so if you're a judge, and use the judge in Pinedale who brought this up as an example, you know, really there's nowhere in his community can he place somebody. Are you satisfied that maybe legislators are getting that message and we might start addressing that?
Well, certainly that's something that will continue to be reviewed by the legislature, as well as Department of Health and regional mental health centers, as well as ourselves. This particular pieces of legislation don't directly address any gaps that exist. And the biggest gap is in terms of residential placements across the state. There are substance abuse and mental health providers in all of the counties, but they have there's a little bit of gap in getting offenders that are releasing from prison immediately to those centers and having follow-up treatment in a timely fashion. So that's gaps that we will continue to pay attention to.
What we'll be doing as an adjunct to these other pieces of legislation is working with the Department of Health and the mental health directors and the sheriffs and chiefs and the other stakeholders across the state to see if we can determine some of the hurdles to getting access to mental health care and substance abuse treatment. Because what has also come out of the Council of State Governments data review is that nearly half of the individuals we have that have an access need, an assessed need for substance abuse principally, are not accessing the system. So we need to spend a lot of time figuring out how to what that looks like and why that group is not able to get into the system, or hasn't so far anyway.
You've tried this before. How do you finally get this stuff passed?
I think it's just a matter of continued education. This time we've done a better job of taking the act on the road, so to speak, and having more engagement at the community levels, engaging various groups like the sheriffs and chiefs and the prosecutors associations. But ultimately, it's a matter of letting the public know that if we don't do something different, we're going to be increasing our prison population by another 200 beds by 2023. That comes with a cost, about $50 million in potential increased construction and operations and confinement costs. So instead, we're suggesting now's the time to look at alternatives that can shift some of those resources or defer those resources so they don't have to be spent for prison beds, and some of them can instead be spent on closing the gaps around substance abuse treatment issues, for example, or mental health issues, and taking lower risk individuals who may be better served in the community, taking those individuals out of the Prison Express lane.
Bob Lampert, Steve Lindley, always great visiting with you, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Bob. Have a good week.